好，我们今天的题目是什么？自家保障。自家保障，大家有没有想到这个主题可能跟什么有关？哦，它的英文翻译就是 Tathagata 吧，这个是梵文啦。其实就是说自家，就是说是自己有的，是不是自己有的保障。就像这个 PPT 上面有一个保障盒，对不对？那要怎么打开？好，要有一把钥匙来打开。好，但是这个保障很特别，是不是从外面去跟别人怎么样拿或去寻找的，而是自己有的，有没有很特别？好，这是今天的主题，就是讲我们自己每个人身上都有的保障。
So what's the topic today? The topic is, in Sanskrit is Tathagatagabra. In English, is treasure at home, your own treasure. So as you can see, from the PowerPoint, there's, a little box, treasure box, and how to open it. You need a key, to open it.But this treasure is a little bit different. It's very special. You cannot seek outside. You have to look within.
好，那在我们，大家可以猜出宝藏是什么吗？啊？哦哟，佛性，有人讲佛性哈。所以在我们这个汉传里头，佛性这个名词几乎怎么样？常常会讲到齁啊，所以也就是今天的主题就是跟这有关。为什么这个跟我们很有关系？
So what is the treasure that everyone has? And some people answered Buddha nature. Yes, Buddha nature is very frequent, referred in, Chinese tradition.
好，那我们今天讲这个自家宝藏哈，那你们会觉得自己是个宝吗？
So, do you feel yourself as a real treasure?
还有就是说，你们觉得自己有宝吗？
And do you feel that you have treasure within?
这哦，有人 yes， 其他人都没有答话，对不对？好像不怎么有什么，没有什么自信呢，哈、哦，对不对？所以这个主题为什么会在汉传、汉藏都普遍信仰，就是这个佛性如来藏的思想为什么那么普遍？那就是因为我们众生缺乏什么？缺乏信心啊，所以这个法门为什么会流传到现在是普遍的，就是表示适合我们什么，就是信心不太够的平凡众生很需要的法门，就是这个如来藏的这个佛性思想，这个法门对现在一算是很适合，所以才会流通到现在这么普遍。
So when I asked the question, very few people answered confidently yes. That shows that people usually lack of confidence and faith in Tathagatagabra or believing they have this Buddha nature. That's why in both Tibetan tradition and Chinese traditions, the doctrine of Tathagatagabra is often repeated in both classics.Because that is used to address, the lack of confidence in practitioners, and is especially, it is still suitable to today's, practitioners.
好，这里两个问题跟刚刚是很相很类似，刚刚是问大家自己有没有宝，也就是说大家 相信自己能成佛吗？
相信
有修行的话。So, do you believe you can become a Buddha? And some people said, yes, if you practice.
哦，但这个佛性很特别，后面会提到，先讲一下，不管你有修行还是没有修行，这个宝一直都什么？都在，就像那个宝藏盒一直都在那，只是缺了一把什么，所以不会因为你没修行这个宝不见了，有没有很特别？好。
But actually, this treasure, the Buddha nature, is very special. It is always there, regardless whether you practice or not. The only thing is that you don't have the key if you don't practice to open the treasure.
好，刚刚是从我们自己的角度看，我们自己能成佛吗？那反过来看，我们相信每个众生都能成佛吗？都有佛性吗？
So previously we just addressed the question of whether you believe you can become a Buddha. And then from the perspectives of all sentient beings, do you believe that everyone has Buddha nature?
好，这个很重要哦，这个我们怎么看自己跟怎么看别人，这个知见看法有没有重要？非常重要。
This is actually very important because how you look at yourself and others are very important. It really depend on your views.
所以说一个信心非常重要，信心在我们的修行过程中一直以来都是最重要的开头。所以在这个大智度论就有讲嘛，佛法的大海什么才能入？信才能入，智才能度嘛，齁，所以信还是最开始入门最重要的。那也提到说，信呢，信心呢，就像手一样，就像我们人有手，才进到宝山中才能够怎么样，拿宝藏。如果没有手的话，什么都拿不到。所以信心就像那我们的手一样。有手才能够拿宝藏，所以信心对我们来讲是不容易的，是第一步最重要的，但是呢又常常是我们怎么样会欠缺的，所以这非常重要，所以今天会讲这个法门。
So faith and confidence is very importantjust like the great treatise on the perfection of wisdom says, the ocean of the Buddha Dharma is entered by faith and delivered by wisdom. And in the sutra it says, the faith is just like your hand. You need to have a hand to reach out to treasure. Otherwise, without a hand, you won't be able to get the treasure. Faith is the first step of the four stages of Buddhist study. That is, faith, understanding, action, and realization. So the very first step is having faith. But, often people lack of faith and it is difficult, to have.
好，所以学佛的四个阶段是信、解、行、证。第一步就是什么？信。那因为我们呢，在42章经也提到，就是说，既得遇到心，信心难。意思就是说，我们今生有机会听闻佛法，对不对？可是如果要对佛法升起真实的信心，是很难的。真实的信心，我们是有信心，但是没有到什么真实的信心，就是坚定不移的信心，这个对我们来讲也不如想象中这么容易。
So just I said, the first step of the four stages of Buddhist studies is faith, then followed by understanding, action or practice, and realization. So just like the sutra of the 42 chapters points out that it is difficult to encounter Buddha Dharma in your life, and yet it is even more difficult to give rise to true confidence or unwavering confidence in Buddha Dharma.
所以我们常常会觉得要成佛的时间要多久？三大阿僧祇劫这么久，对不对？这么久中间过程要有很坚定的什么信心和菩提心，才能够修这个长远的菩萨道。那这个过程中我们常常都会觉得自己，有时候会觉得自己怎么样，好像很渺小，好像佛的功德，我们真的可以跟佛一样具备全部的智慧和慈悲吗？我们常常会怎么样，会觉得 好像不行。就像我们以前师父常常会开示说我们常常都会回答说哦，那是师父啊，我不是师父啊，我们没有办法像师父那样，是不是会这样？我们就会没有信心说那是因为师父是师父，然后师父就会跟我们说我也不是生下来就是当师父，就是师父也是一步一步踏实累积过来的，也就是说这个就是一种信心啦齁，就师父也是努力来的，但是我们常常会觉得说只有师父特别特别才能够这样。那就像我们想成佛一样，成佛这件事我们是可以达成的。如果我们常常这样想，我们跟佛原来都一模一样，有这些无量的慈悲和智慧的话，我们都是跟佛一样的。要常常这么思维，而不是都是想说什么我永远是什么凡夫，这就不一样。
So it, because it takes so long, it's many, many, millions of years to, attain Buddhahood. So because the time stretched so long, we often lost confidence on the way. And we doubt, can we really, have the same wisdom and compassion of a Buddha? Sometimes we doubt that. It's just like, when Shifu give us talks and talk about practice, we often respond saying, Shifu, that's you, it's not us. You're you and we are, the disciples, we're different. And Shifu, because we lack of confidence in Shifu, often said, I was not born like this. You know, my current practice is achieved through cultivation. So just like we often look up to Shifu as someone who's really special and we can never be able to match that person, it's the same thing with Buddhahood. We actually are in nature no different than Buddhas. But if we always think in the way that, oh, Buddhas are Buddhas and we are sentient beings, and there's no way we can be the same. If you think this way, it won't be beneficial.
所以也就是说对我们来讲，这个如来藏思想，这个如来藏这个修行法门，这个强调人人皆能成佛，这个是大乘佛教重要的思想之一。也可以说是从佛陀时代贯通到佛陀时代，一样是连接缘起性空的源头，贯通诸法实相。但是因为这个法门的宽容性和适应性呢，会是未来，其实现在也是哈，一直到未来都是信仰和思想的主流。这是师父有提到的。
So Shifu mentioned that Theravada Gabra, which emphasized that everyone can become Buddha, is one of the important schools of Mahayana Buddhism. And it connects the source of dependent origination and the emptiness of Buddha nature. And it is throughout the reality of all Dharmas. And because of its inclusiveness and adaptability, it will become, and it is already now, that it will become the mainstream school in the future.
所以如来藏这个思想呢，主要是表达 人人都能成佛，这样子就会让一切众生都有成佛的希望，就每个人都有这个成佛的自信。
So the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha mainly addresses that everyone has this Buddha nature and will become Buddha. So gives sentient beings confidence and faith in practice.
好，那既然这个思想这么重要，而且一直到现在到未来都会是主流的话，我们就稍微知道一下如来藏思想的兴起呢。在我们知道印度有三大系的思想，就是什么中观、唯识和如来藏三系哈。那在大乘佛教的早期，是以中观和瑜伽、唯识哈，就瑜伽系两大是主流，一直到怎么样？这个一直到第三西元三世纪才开始翻译这个如来藏经典。就渐渐的这个如来藏的思想就开始萌芽，一直到四五世纪就怎么样受重视，然后开始兴盛起来，好，一直到后头就变成就是跟中观和唯识、中观瑜伽啦，要讲印度要讲中观瑜伽，中观瑜伽跟如来藏就并驾齐驱了。
Since we're going to talk about the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha, it's better to mention a little bit about the origins and development of this school. So in the early days of Buddhism in India, there were two main schools of Buddhism. One is based on the doctrine of Mahamaka. The other one is Yogacara, and two main schools of thoughts.And then Buddhism, and then developed to the three centuries. The third century, the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha started to emerge. And then it continued developed until the fourth and the fifth century. There will be more and more sutras of Tathagatagarbha schools become and translated.And this doctrine become increasingly more important and spread broadly. And eventually, it becomes one of the three main schools of Buddhism.
好，所以也可以说如来藏系列的经典，在印度的话就算后期的大乘佛法，但是一直影响很深远，包括刚提到哈。一直传到西藏的也是哈，西藏的中观派，好，还有印度也有唯识学派，还有呢，一直到中国也是影响很大。好，这个尤其这个三大系传到中国呢，在中国最被受欢迎和弘扬光大的，都是跟什么如来藏相关的宗派。大家可以想到，中国有几个宗派？八个宗派啊，大家随便提一下你想到的宗派。好，禅宗、净土、华严、天台。哎，你们真厉害！现在现场提出的四个大宗派都算什么？通通都是强调什么？如来藏思想。那你说影响大不大？大哈、哦，这个通通都受如来藏思想影响。这个跟我们的本土文化有关，因为我们中国人喜欢什么？生性比较喜欢简易的东西，所以像瑜伽、唯识类的比较繁琐复杂。那我们中国的本土文化就不喜欢这些。那中观的话就偏哲学类的、思辨类的，我们中国人也不喜欢，所以就会流传到。现在哈是适合我们，所以就是适合我们的文化根器，流传到现在嘛，弘扬光大。
So the sutras and classics literatures of the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha has great influence for in the later stage of Mahayana Buddhism. And no matter whether it's a Tibetan school of Yogacara and the consciousness-only school in India, they are all influenced by the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha. But when these different schools of thoughts introduced to China, in China, how many schools of Buddhism do we have in history? We have 8, and people just named the 4 most important ones, like Chen School, Pure Land School, Huayan School, and Tiantai School. And interestingly, those 4 schools are all follow the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha. So you can see how influential it is of this doctrine. And the reason that the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha is well received by Chinese is because of culture, the local culture. Because Chinese culture prefers something that's simple and not complicated or elaborated. And for consciousness-only school, it's a bit too complicated. And for Mahayamaka school of thoughts, it's more like a philosophy. So according to the local culture, in China, the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha is more widely received.
好，刚刚讲中国，对不对？中国，那西藏前面讲，西藏也受影响很大。大家知道西藏的密强调什么？即生成佛，有没有？这个概念也是如来藏思想，所以对西藏也是影响很大。那所以基本上如来藏思想是最受汉藏两系大乘佛教所信受的。即使是今天世界的佛教齁，大部分是日本的禅跟西藏的密。那这是师父有分析齁，这三就是日本的禅和西藏的密和南传上座部的佛法，这都有流传到今日的世界佛教里头。但是呢，师父分析说，这个南传上座部的佛法比较保守，它的深度和广度不容易被世界环境普遍认同。但是因为日本的禅跟西藏的密都跟如来藏信仰有关，因为如来藏信仰有适应不同文化环境的弹性，比较容易被各个民族接受。所以以师父弘法的经验，还有深入印度经藏跟印度大圣三系和中国大圣诸宗，师父都有涉略。好，那师父说他自己受用最多、弘化最好用的，也能够被大家接受的，还是如来藏的信仰。
So the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha is also influential in Tibet. In Tibet as well, in Tibetan Buddhism, there's a saying of becoming a Buddha in one lifetime. So that has be influenced by the thoughts of Tathagatagarbha. Therefore, in both tradition, in Tibet and China, the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha is really well received by the practitioners. And the Shifu said, the thoughts of Tathagatagarbha is very popular popular in Tibet and in China. And look around today's world in Buddhist world. The most popular ones are the Japanese Zen and Tibetan's esoteric practice and Theravada practice. But Theravada practice is more conservative, and the depths and the breadth may not be easily recognized or accepted by the world. But no matter Japanese Zen or Tibetan Tantric, they are all closely connected to the faith in Tathagatagarbha. Therefore, it has great adaptability to different cultures and easily accepted by different nations, different people. Although I'm not an expert in all three Mahayana schools, but at least I have some understanding of all of them. Therefore, I can't be say I don't understand them at all. Among all these schools, I personally feel that Tathagatagarbha school is the one that's most used, I often used, and easily accepted by the audience and spread most.
好，那介绍这么多，就是表示说这个如来藏信仰，还如来藏思想，这个法门的修行，就是适合普遍这么多的众生，所以也就是说，世尊要度化众生，会因为我们众生根基不同，就要应机施教，所以如来藏这个修行法门也是这样，就是适合我们，所以佛陀才会宣说这个法门。
So having said all this, I would just want to point out that the doctrine of Tathagatagarbha is really suitable for all roots of people.
好，那我们今天呢会介绍属于如来藏经典里头的代表的经典，也可以说是如来藏经典里头最主要的哈，那就是这一部经叫做《如来藏经》，那它的全名呢是《大方等如来藏经》，这个是出现最早的经典，也是最早提出如来藏这个名词的经典。
So today, we're going to talk about one important sutra of this Tathagatagarbha school, that is the Tathagatagarbha Sutra. And it is the earliest, one of the earliest Buddhist classics to use the term Tathagatagarbha.
好，这个如来藏经主要的内容呢，就是它里头讲了九个譬喻。重点是告诉我们一切众生皆有如来藏。
So in this sutra, it uses 9 metaphors or similes to illustrate that all sentient beings have Tathagatagarbha.
好，那我们稍微就经题上面来介绍哈，它叫大方等如来藏经，对不对？那大方等的意思就是说方等，它另外一个翻译叫大方广如来藏经，不管是大方等或大方广，方等或方广意思就是大，指的大圣经典。
So the full title of the sutra has in Chinese 方广 and 方等 these Chinese words generally refer to all Mahayana classics。
那如来大家都知道意思，对不对？如来是佛的什么十种称号之一，而且佛是代表实证缘起性空的如实的觉悟者。
In Tathagata, in the name, in the title means it is one of the 10 names of Buddha. And Buddha is the one that has already fully realized dependent origination and the emptiness.
好，那接下来看这个如来藏呢，多了一个如来藏，这个藏是什么意思？藏的是胎藏的意思， baby 那个胎，胎儿那个胎，胎藏的意思，它是这个胎藏的字词呢，是来自于婆罗门教的经典离俱吠陀的金胎神话，借用这个字它是有代表意义的，所以藏的梵文来讲呢，它含有胎藏或者界三界的界界限那个界胎藏或界藏的意思。好，那什么意思呢？
So, and then the last part of the title of the sutra is Gabhara. Gabhara is a Sanskrit, and it has its origins in Brahmanism and Hinayana Gabhara, the myth of Hinayana Gabhara. It has something to do with fetus in embryo, and therefore it has a meaning of, it's like the fetus in mother's womb, and it also has the meaning of realms.
好，也就是说，胎藏的意思就是说，可以含藏，而且可以成长发育的意思，就像妈妈肚子里的胎儿一样，可以怎么样含藏，然后又可以生长发育的意思。那另外一个意思叫隐藏，就是隐藏在里面等待被发掘，就像刚刚讲宝藏一样，是不是隐藏在里头，但是要去挖宝嘛，齁，就是有这个意思。好。
So it has two layers of meanings. The first layer means, it's just like a fetus in mother's womb. It will continue grow, has a meaning of growth. And the second layer of meaning is that it refers to, something hidden and ready to be uncovered, discovered.
所以常常有一句话是讲如来藏中藏如来，这样我们比较清楚，就是在我们自信佛性，就如来藏里头藏有如来。
So, there is saying that, within Tathagata Gabhara, there's a Tathagata.
好，那大家会不会觉得怎么有一个东西每个人都有？大家会不会以为，因为印度宗教或哲学常常是有我还是无我？有我嘛，因为他们是有一个神我在。可是我们大乘佛法这个如来藏不是神我，没有一个所谓的神我，就是有一个什么永恒存在、单一存在、可以自在作用的个人或宇宙。也就是说，神我就是譬如说会以为有一个实在的轮回主体，可是我们讲的如来藏不是神我的，是无我的如来藏。
So Tathagata Gabhara in the context of Mahayana Buddhism is different from in the Brahman context because it is not referred as a personal god or unchanging, permanent, independent entity. Because in Hinduism and in the philosophy, Indian philosophy, there is a permanent, independent, unchanging entity. And that is different from Tathagata Gabhara.
啊，所以如来藏也可以用另外的名词来说明。如来藏就是佛性，也是自性，也是空性。这个自信，齁，我们的定义跟中观的自信不一样。这个自信就是我们常常听到，就像六祖坛经里头常常会讲，何其自信，本自清净，就自信是空性，也是佛性。
So here, Tathagabhara refers to, in other words, Buddha nature, self nature, and emptiness. It's just like the Six Platform Sutra says,How wonderful that your self nature is originally pure.
所以如来藏可以说是指我们众生身中就有什么如来，也就是说一切众生本来是如来，只是还在胎里头，还没诞生。
So, basically, it means all sentient beings are Buddhas. It's just they are not born yet. They're still in this mother's womb.
好，所以如来藏经呢，就是帮我们讲这个如来藏，就刚刚简单介绍如来藏什么意思，还有说，其实我们每个众生都有如来法身，只是被烦恼覆盖。但是自信清净是毫不被任何烦恼所染的，所以也就是本性清净不受污染。
So the self nature is always pure and it cannot be tainted. The sutra, Tathagatagarbha Sutra, expounds on the meaning of Tathagatagarbha and it shows that even though the Dhamma body is covered by afflictions, the purity of Buddha nature is never polluted.
好，我们讲字词就大方等如来藏经，经的意思大家大部分都知道，经的意思就是代表什么？Sutra 就是气经，有气理合机的意思。
And the last word and in the Chinese full title is 经 Sutra means Sutra. Means that explains things and conveys the views.
所以整个如来藏经可以讲，就是说它可以用很简洁、很容易懂的譬喻来表达。一个讯息就是什么？一切众生皆有如来藏，然后开创一个什么？崭新，能够激发自信和自尊的法门。
So this sutra uses simple yet easy to understand illustrations, similar to convey a simple message that all sentient beings have.Tathagatagarbha and establish a new school of thought that can really bring confidence and great faith.
所以也就是说这个法门能够 使我们升起信心愿意修学佛法早成佛道。
So this doctrine and this school of thoughts enables us to want to practice and want to become Buddha.
好，接下来我们就九个譬喻里头，我们一个一个来看佛这部经典讲的九个譬喻哈。一开头叫做尾花有佛喻。
So we're going to take a closer look of the nine similes of the sutras. The first metaphor is the metaphor of wilted flowers.
好，一开头呢哈，佛陀呢。就先用神通变化示现给大家看，就是有好多的莲花怎么样同时升到空中，然后同时放光，然后瞬间呢大地就是无量的光明呈现这个莲花同时放光，然后瞬间佛陀就用神通变化让什么这个莲花凋谢枯萎，结果里头都看到什么？一尊一尊的，每一尊都是佛的如来的化身，然后都放光明。那佛陀用这个神通变化，就是告诉我们怎样？虽然这些花看起来什么凋谢啊、枯萎，可是里头有什么？有佛在放光明。一开头是视线这样的开头，然后才有什么金刚慧菩萨就问佛为什么要现这个神通变化，让我们看见佛会现神通变化一定是有意义的，为了要干嘛？要度众生嘛，所以要说法，要有因缘，告诉大家先视线这样，然后有人请问之后，佛就开始说了。
So in the beginning of the sutra, the Buddha actually used his supernatural powers and put on a miraculous display that there appeared in the sky a countless number of thousand petals of lotus flowers and filled with colors, fragrance, and emanating lights. And then suddenly the flower wilted, and then after the flower wilted, it appears Buddhas within the flowers. So great Bodhisattva seen this miraculous play and asked Buddha, what does this mean? Because Shakyamuni Buddha always used supernatural abilities to display something and then it always has some teachings to follow.
好，这个譬喻就是说在这个凋萎枯谢的这个莲花叶里头用这样的譬喻就告诉我们花还没有开放之前 还没开的时候，如果有天眼通的人来看，他看到的是什么？里头有什么？有如来在里头，是清净无染的哈。只要把这些什么枯萎凋谢的花瓣去除，就可以看到什么？如来在里头了哈。那为了佛陀，也是因为这样而怎么样？为了众生说法，说法的目的就是要去除众生的什么烦恼，就能够显现什么佛性，就可以显现。
So, Shakyamuni Buddha explained that it is like the wilted flowers. Before their petals have opened, one with supernatural visions can see the unstained body of Tathagata. After the wilted flowers are removed, one sees without obstacle the Buddha's images. So it's just like ascension beings once removed the vexations and then will the Buddha nature will manifest.
所以就是说以佛的智慧呢来看一切的众生，所有一一的如来藏都在每个众生的 身里面都有如来藏，只是因为有什么无量的烦恼被什么覆盖、哦、那只要能够听闻佛法，然后除灭烦恼，最后就能怎么样见到、哦、佛性。
So, in a Buddha's perspective, all sentient beings are Buddhas in nature. It's just that they are covered by their own vexations, afflictions. And if they can remove these obstructions by practicing Buddha Dharma, they can all manifest the Buddha nature.
好，那我们也就是说，这个譬喻呢，就是说一切众生的如来之藏常住不变，也就是华严经常讲的一切众生皆具有什么如来智慧德相。
So the essential message is that all sentient beings have Tathagata that never changes. This is an essential message that gives everyone the confidence that all can reach Buddhahood.
好，接下来呢我们再来看第二个譬喻哈、哦。第二个譬喻是什么？这边倒过来哈、哦，是蜂群绕蜜哈、哦。
So we'll take a look at the next metaphor, the metaphor of honey protected by bees.
哦，所以这九种譬喻也是一种观想的法门，所以大家都可以每一种譬喻去想，以后就可以用。所以这个群蜂绕蜜这个譬喻就是说，就好比在什么岩树丛中，就岩壁里头有树，然后有洞，然后里头藏着什么蜂蜜，很纯净的蜂蜜，可是有无量的什么蜜蜂在外面围绕，那这样好拿到蜂蜜吗？不好拿到，对不对？那怎么办呢？好，这个就要看人了哈。那会取蜂蜜的人，他有没有办法？啊，这个譬喻是指谁有办法？应该说每个人都要想办法，但是。就这个譬喻是告诉我们，这个清净的蜂蜜外面围绕了什么蜜蜂很多，可是懂得技巧的人，技巧高明的人就有办法怎么样把这些蜜蜂怎么样赶走，然后拿到什么蜂蜜，然后有没有就可以拿来受用了，对不对？蜂蜜可以自己吃，也可以分给家人嘛、哦、所以这个就是譬喻，这个蜜蜂就代表什么？我们众生的烦恼。那蜂蜜呢？蜜就是我们的佛性如来藏。所以所有的故事都是类似的譬喻法。但是这样的这么如实的故事譬喻，我们看得到的，我们就很好记起来，对不对？就是一种观想。
So the second similes and metaphor talks about there's honey, pure honey in cave or tree, but they're surrounded by countless bees. So how can one take the honey without getting hurt by the bees? Well, if someone knows a clever technique, they can get rid of the bees and get the honey. So here, honey is used to illustrate the Buddha nature, and bees used to illustrate our vexations and obstructions, obstacles that prevent us getting the honey, getting to the Buddha nature. So who can come up with skillful means or clever techniques to get honey? Well, we have to also depend on ourselves to find a way to obtain the self nature. But here, each metaphor is a way, actually, is a method for visualization, because it all points to the same direction, the same message, core message, but it's very vivid and in our life, so we can use this similes to visualize.
所以说佛陀出现世间，就像法华经讲了，希望开示众生怎么样？开示悟入什么？佛之知见。我们今天讲这些都是佛的知见。佛这样看这件，看我们众生，佛的知见。那我们要不要具备这样的知见？要啊，就是要了解怎么样是佛的知见，因为我们最后也是要用佛的知见来看什么世间所有的一切事物，这样来看齁。所以佛出现世间就是要说法度众生，就是要灭除我们所有众生的烦恼的疯，然后取得什么如来的智慧密藏。
So just like the Lotus Sutra says, the great cause of Buddha appearing in this world is because the Buddha want to preach and let sentient beings know the right views of Buddha. So here, all in the Tathagatagarbha Sutra, they are all viewpoints from the Buddha. And if we want to become Buddha in the end, we have to practice and see the world from the perspectives of Buddha.
好，那我们再看第三个譬喻，这个譬喻叫糠块耕梁喻，这是什么意思呢？糠块指的是什么？稻米的皮和壳叫糠块，那耕梁就是叫白米，这样有没有清楚？所以如果我们要吃白米的话，要去除什么？糠壳。就像这个米啊，稻米是粗米，还没有去除皮壳的时候，我们一般人看到会以为这个米怎么样？很差。然后就会觉得什么？想丢掉它，看起来没有用。可是如果懂的人就知道怎么样？哦，把它的壳去里头就有什么？就有白米在里头。所以这就是佛陀告诉我们，我们每个人的烦恼壳里头有什么？有白米的如来藏。好，这样的譬喻。所以我们虽然有烦恼，但是不要被烦恼什么困惑住了。烦恼里头有什么？有白米，就是说有如来藏，这是佛陀。所以佛陀看我们众生就是什么，只是被什么，被这个稻米的外壳皮壳给什么盖住，但是他是佛陀是看得到里头的，所以他为我们说，哎呀，你们不要太愚痴，就是说每个人都是里头都有什么？纯净的白米，白米就可以受用了。
So the next metaphor talks about the white rice that's covered by the husks. So most people, they can only see the outer layer and can't see the white rice within. So they will discard it, the entire thing. But Buddha can see the white rice within, which is useful and beneficial. So our vexations, afflictions are just like the husks covers the white rice. If we can get the husk removed, the white rice will appear and can be useful. It's the same thing that if we can practice to remove all vexations, the Buddha nature will show up.
所以如果我们懂得去除我们的烦恼，其实这些什么壳去掉，这些白米就是成为很好的食物，甚至于国王来食用。所以就是我们要知道怎么样是吧，去掉那些白米外面的皮和壳，这是很重要的。
So the important thing is we need to know how to remove the husks outside. So the white rice within can be used even for a king's, even it becomes food that's fit for a king.
好，这边 PPT 有贴错，主要是上头，大家看上头第四个譬喻是说金堕不尽处玉。好，大家就是这个意思，这个譬喻是说就好像真金掉到什么不干净的地方，然后就什么藏起来了。好，这个故事就是说有我们有人远行带着什么，带着金子哈，就是金子被什么掉到脏脏的地方，然后经过很久都没有人看到，因为都被脏脏的，比如说可能被垃圾啊、粪便啊覆盖，然后经过很久都没有人发现，但是谁就发现了，就是这里是用譬喻啦，说有天眼的人可以看远看近嘛，天眼的人一看，诶，那里头有什么，有真金在里面，齁、哦、这个真金是不会坏的，可是没有人知道，齁、哦、只有这个有天眼的人能够知道。
So the next metaphor talks about the genuine gold that has fallen into a pit of waste and be submerged and not seen for many years. The pure gold does not decay, yet no one knows that it is there. So here came along someone who has supernatural vision, then who can see and then told people that, you know, within the impure waste, there's actually a piece of gold, then you can get it out and use as you please.
也就是说如果懂的人呢、啊、这个天眼的人呢就把这个消息告诉大家的话，大家就可以怎么样，就去掏进去就可以经过处理之后就得到什么真的黄金，就有什么财富了哈，就任大家可以去受用了哈。
So the person who has supernatural vision can see through and can tell people just to go and uncover the pure gold within the waste. Then people realize that and start digging to find the gold. And once they find the gold, they can use the gold for their own use.
所以我们一般看到晦气物，就是脏脏的这些垃圾的时候，就要起观想。没有啦，就要想到这个故事。如果诸位看到身边的人看起来怎么样？这菩萨讲得很直接，看起来有些烦恼众生看起来也怎么样？也不怎么样哦。那你能够用佛眼看他吗？他里头有什么？佛心如来藏哦，有真金藏在里头哦。
So this story tells us that if we encounter someone that we don't really like, feel like that person is no good, you should remember this metaphor and really see through and see within the Buddha nature of that person.
所以在文殊菩萨也讲，一切烦恼为如来种。
So,
也就是说烦恼就是即菩提，在烦恼的大海中才有机会将什么福德智慧培养出来。所以也就是因为我们众生自己有苦难，所以我们才能去体会别人的什么困难。
So vexations actually are the seeds of Bodhi, because only when we encounter vexations and can we discover and practice and discover the Bodhi within us.
好，第五个呢，是贫家宝藏玉。
And the next metaphor is about a store of treasure hidden beneath an impoverished household.
好，这就像贫穷的人里家里呢，什么有宝藏，可是没有人告诉他，你们家地下埋有宝藏，或者你们家宝藏藏在哪一个房间里头，或者墙里头，然后你不知道，那会去开发宝藏吗？不会哈，所以这个也是个譬喻说。就是说佛陀看众生呢，我们虽然流转到什么五道，就是六道轮回啦，在轮回生死之中，其实是有一个宝藏永远是跟随我们的，大宝在身内，而且常在不变异，这是佛来看我们众生，所以佛陀讲法就是告诉我们，我们都有什么宝藏，要现在佛陀告诉我们了，是不是？就像刚刚讲，如果没有人告诉我们，我们家有宝藏，我们就不懂得去挖掘，对不对？现在佛陀告诉我们了，我们就要懂得去什么？去挖宝。
So this metaphor tells us, just like in a very poor family, they actually have a hidden treasure beneath the house, but no one tells them, so they don't know, and the treasure can't speak for itself until someone who has supernatural ability comes in and tells them the treasure beneath the house, and they start to dig out. So this metaphor is used to illustrate that even though we sentient beings going through this samsara, the wheel of samsara, and being subjected to countless sufferings, nevertheless, the great treasure of Buddha nature always be with us. It's always with us. It's just that we don't know where to look and how to uncover it. Now, Buddha comes in to tell us that the Buddha nature, and now we know, we need to uncover it.
好，第五个，这个在《法华经》里头也有这个譬喻，我相信大家应该听过。叫一里珠玉或者一珠玉，这个故事是这样说的，就是说曾经有一个人呢，怎么样，很贫穷，过得不好，然后他到亲友家做客，两个人呢喝酒喝得很开心，就怎么样，这个拜访的人呢就怎么样喝醉了，然后他这个朋友呢就想啊，我这个朋友过得怎么样不太好，我应该要怎么样帮助他，但是他已经喝醉了，酒醉不行，那怎么办呢？他又要赶着要出门，那只好怎么样，在他的衣里缝了什么，缝了宝藏，想说他醒过来会发现我的衣服里头有藏着宝藏，就可以去换钱或干嘛，日子就可以改善啊。那结果这个拜访的人喝醉醒了之后呢，怎么样？就想他朋友都出门了嘛，就想说啊，不好意思，久留，就自己也就走了。那走了之后，请问他有知道自己衣里有宝吗？没有。哎， 不知道自己衣里缝了一个宝藏在里头，所以中年还是过着什么贫穷流浪的日子哈。那直到有一天又遇到他的什么他的朋友，他朋友就告诉他什么啊，我你怎么会这么怎么落魄潦倒，我当时就已经怎么样在你衣服缝了一个宝，可是你却没发现啊，没想到你没有发现，如果你发现你生活不会过得这样子齁。那现在告诉他了对不对，告诉这个朋友说你衣里有什么宝藏赶快去找来，然后你就可以过着什么好一点生活。
So, the next metaphor, as also mentioned in other sutras, and you're probably familiar with, that is, there's a person who's very poor, and, he visited his friend, and they drink together, and, got drunk, and, the friend passed away, and, the poor person passed away, and the other friend said, well, I need to do something to help my friend. So,the friend sold some treasure or gold into his clothes. So was thinking when he wakes up, he will discover the treasure and then he won't be poor anymore. Then the friend left. So the poor person wakes up and never discovered the treasure within his clothes. So he continued to live a poor life and begging for food or stuff. Until one day he ran into the friend again and the friend said,How come you're still in this situation? I already give you some treasure and stuff within your clothes. Just take a look. And at that time, the friend then discovered the treasure.
好，当我们听到这个故事，诸位菩萨，你们怎么想的？我们不就也就是那个什么喝醉的人吗？其实我们有宝，有知道吗？如果我们知道有宝，我们应该不会怎么样过得天天苦哈哈的，那要常常起烦恼对不对？当我们起烦恼的，就看看我的衣服里面那个宝去哪里了。这是个譬喻，就是说我们都有佛性如来藏，不要忘记了，那个外在的都是表象的，有一个是什么真正我们拥有的这个宝藏，其实是可以有智慧让我们什么破除烦恼，然后还有功用的嘛，佛陀除了有智慧，他还有什么无慈悲，还有无量的功德，可以帮自己也可以帮别人的，是有保障的，所以这个譬喻大家也可以常常想一想。
So this poor drunk person is just like us, that we often only see outside andwe're no better than that person, not knowing, look within and find the Buddha nature within that can have wisdom, compassion, and have a lot of functions, because Buddha used this Buddha, the functions of Buddha nature to do a lot of beneficial things, not just for the self, but also for others.
所以其实我们心里都有自信宝，三根佛是什么？无二无别。只是我们遇到烦恼的时候要懂得怎么样去转化齁。这样我们就可以不断的成长，然后也可以开发我们的自信如来藏。
So we are actually, in terms of the self nature, is no different than Buddha's. It's just when we encounter afflictionsWe need to learn how to turn the afflictions and then grow out of it. And then by doing this, we can working on discovering our own Buddha nature.
好，所以师父也常常勉励我们，我们修学佛法第一个条件升起信心，信三宝也信自己。信三宝就可以帮助我们出离生死中的种种苦难，然后要更相信我们自己可以修行，而且可以透过修行终能成佛。
So 师父 often encourages us that To start a Buddhist practice, first we need to give rise to great faith, and great faith to the three treasures. To the three refugees, and the great faith in ourselves that we can practice. We have the ability to practice, and second, by practice we will reach Buddhahood.
好，我们再看第六个譬喻哈。第六个譬喻叫做安罗果种喻。
And the next metaphor is called a pit of fruit that eventually will grow into a big tree.
好，这个是印度的一个水果，长得很像梨子啦。这个是譬喻哈，因为佛陀譬喻故事一定是容易看到的，大家看得到的哈。所以就像这个安罗果呢，怎么样？里头的果实种子是什么？不会坏的。然后只要有机会种到大地，有适当的条件，它将来就可以长成什么大的树王嘛哈。那佛陀看我们一切众生就是这样哈，就像。每个身上就像这安罗果，我们就像安罗果里头有种子，就是如来藏，将来都能成佛，只是暂时被什么无明烦恼覆盖，只要怎么样了解佛法之后如实修行，就可以开发我们本来有的如来藏，就可以成就佛道，就像这个种子可以成为大的树王一样。
And it is just like the seed of the amara fruit that right now you don't see it because it's covered within. But if you put in the earth, and eventually it will grow into a big tree. It's just like if we can practice and address our own vexations, and eventually we will be able to reveal the Tathagatagarbha.
好，大概，所以好几个观想了，对不对？所以大家也可以看到水果的时候想到什么？哇，里头有种子，将来一定可以成为什么？大树，成为大树就可以给人家什么？遮阴乘凉，就是我们要有功能利益世间。
So this can be used as a visualization practice as well. When you see a fruit, you should visualize that, oh, there's a seed within, just like the Buddha nature. If I practice, and eventually the seed will come out and grow into a big tree to provide shade for people to perform its functions. Just like us, if we continue to work on ourselves and to reveal the Buddha nature, eventually we will be able to discover Buddha nature and also be beneficial to self and others.
好，第七个譬喻哈，是叫碧物果金喻。
And the next one is called Tathagata images wrapped in a rotten rags.
好，这个譬喻很容易看呐哈，就是说，就像一个什么，这个跟刚刚的很像。好，刚刚有一个什么？啊，就是金掉到哪里，金堕不尽处，这个譬喻啊，这个譬喻也很像。这个譬喻就是说，有一个人期待一个什么一尊金像呢，到远地去什么旅行，结果呢，去外地旅行，以前的人都很怕路上遇到什么强盗嘛，所以宝藏都要干嘛，包起来，看起来怎么样，像垃圾一样，所以叫碧物果金玉嘛，就是用一些垃圾啊脏脏的东西把它藏起来，才不会被抢，为了安全、哦、就藏得很好，结果这个人呢还没到目的地就怎么样，就死了，然后这个包的东西就掉在什么旅途上，然后就怎么样一直掉在那里，没有人去发现啊，这个譬喻就是，但是如果有天眼的人就会怎么样？告诉大家那里有什么金像，赶快去什么挖宝嘛，齁、哦。这个也是一个譬喻故事，也是告诉我们 怎么样？跟刚刚一样，我们都有如来藏，而且是真经的哦，没有，不是 K 经，是真经。
So the next story talks about a man with a statue of pure gold who travels to a faraway place and was feared that he might be robbed. So he wrapped the statue in worn out rags so that no one would know that he had a statue of pure gold. But on the way, the man suddenly died and the golden statue was discarded in an open field, and the travelers thought that, you know, the rag looks so filthy and no one would think there's a golden statue within. Until one day, a person with supernatural vision see it and tells everyone else, oh, there's a gold statue within, so you should find it. It's just like the gold statue within. We have this Buddha nature, but it's covered by our vexations like filthy rags.
好，我们再看第八个譬喻哈。第八个譬喻叫什么？贫贱丑女怀轮王玉，有没有很清楚？好，就像一个很什么很贫穷、长得很丑的女人，看起来其貌不扬，可是她怀了一个什么？怀了一个转轮圣王在胎里头。这个如果是怀了一个类似以前讲怀了一个太子，就是准备要登基那个，这个太子就是这个转轮王，就是什么具备很多功德嘛，可以统领天下。可是这个怀孕的妈妈知道吗？这个贫穷女人怎么样？不知道，她都觉得她怀了一个怎么样？她的儿子也怎么样？可能跟我身份一样，就是怎么样，也是很卑贱的，没有什么指望哈。可是如果是佛来看我们众生，就怎么样，又不一样了。佛看众生就说：“你明明就怀了一个什么转轮王，哎，将来怎么样？”就可以统领天下齁，利益众生齁，那就不会自卑啦齁。
So the next story, talks about a woman who is impoverished, ugly, and hated by others, who bears a noble son, a sage king, in her womb. So, from the perspective of that woman, she would never thought about that her child would become a sage king. She probably would think of him as also the same base-born, impoverished child. In like fashion, Tathagata see that all sentient beings are carried around by the samsara, receiving suffering and vexations, but they don't realize that actually Tathagata Gabbara is within everyone. And we all possess this Buddha nature.
好，所以这个就告诉我们，千万不要什么轻视自己，也不要什么轻视别人。好，如果你们又看到路上或家人有人怀孕的时候，就要想到这个什么，想到这个譬喻，要用佛法来关照世间。好，你的佛眼就要想，哦，这个 baby 未来怎么样？哦，可能是转轮圣。
So this story tells us when you encounter with a pregnant woman, you should never look down upon that person. Or if you're pregnant, you should not look down upon yourself, because you may end up with a sage king. You never know.
啊，所以你看这个佛陀这个贫贱女怀轮王这个譬喻哈，在印度要讲这个思想容不容易？不容易耶。印度是什么种姓制度嘛？怎么可能贫贱女会怀转轮王？这个就是佛教提出来，就是非常的什么民主平等，众生都能成佛，何况是成转轮王，对不对？所以这样的思想，就让我们永远对未来是怀抱什么 希望的。
So you can see that, bring up this, thought, bring up this school of thoughts is would not easy in back in ancient India because they have this strict, rigid caste system that, people born into different classes won't be able to, rise into different classes. But Buddha actually tells them we are all born equal and we have this Buddha nature and never long that, you know, one person can become a sage king.
好，我们下一个譬喻是什么？第九个是什么？住魔内金象喻，哦，大家猜得到吗？大家有看过有人住魔的吗？魔子，这就是譬喻，有一个会什么住金象的人，怎么样去打造什么？住了一个金象。可是住金像过程要用什么？要用土啊或什么把它什么包起来，因为还要拿去什么烧嘛，哦，诶，大家好像会一样，哈哈就是去烧了之后，烧完外表看起来是什么黑黑的焦黑的土嘛，这有什么看起来就丑丑的，就是 一堆黑土。可是这个住像师一看就知道哦，这个冷了之后就怎么样？因为他知道里面是因为是他住的啊，他知道里面有什么，有金像在里头，所以他只要做什么事，冷了之后就把什么膜一打开，就看到什么，哇，金像好好的，像很好的一个画一样，哦，就呈现出来。所以这个譬喻有没有很清楚？这个膜譬喻的是什么？这个焦黑的土就是使我们众生的什么烦恼，所以要拿出什么，后头要讲，要用金刚的智慧把什么烦恼魔给锤破，就可以看到什么如来在里面，哦，所以大家是要被敲还是敲别人哈？哎，对，我们要锤破自己的烦恼魔，还要怎么样？显现我们自己的，开发我们本性如来藏，哦，也要帮别人什么？敲一敲，看到旁边，哎，这个冷却了，差不多了，可以敲一下，就让它展现佛性的功能发挥，哦，所以这个譬喻是这个样子的。
And the last metaphor.It's a story that talks about a master, foundry man casting a statue of pure gold. After casting is complete, it is inverted and placed on the ground. Although the outside is burned, is scorched and blackened, the inside is unchanged. When it is opened and the statue taken out, the golden color, is radiant. Similarly, when Thathagata observes,all sentient beings, he sees that the Buddha nature is inside everyone and has many virtues. But we need to wait until the cool down to remove, just like the statue, wait until the cool down to remove the burned, blackened mold, clay mold, then we can reveal this golden statue within. In the same way, we have to remove, practice, and find...really powerful methods to practice to remove all vexations will be able to reveal the Buddha nature within. So if you walk around and see people, you think they are ready for the final push or to break the outside clay mold, you should just try to help and then the person can realize the Buddha nature.
所以这个金像也譬喻说，这个金像就譬喻一种化身，可以有各种不同的形状和大小，就是可以当不同的化身。好，那佛也是因为了众生需要而化现无数的化身，所以这个金像可以有各种，也就是说我们的佛性功能有各种不同的功能。
And here it mentions the shape and the size of the golden statue varies according to the clay mold. Similarly, the response body of Buddha appear very differently according to sentient beings' needs.
我们世俗 有一个是电影的金像奖，那大家就想到谁帮众生成佛的，你就可以得什么啊？你是得金像奖。
So in movie industry, we have the Golden Statue Award. So you can imagine, you can visualize, or whoever help sentient beings to become Buddhas can get this award.
好，那讲完了几个譬喻，九个，好不好懂？对嘛？你看佛陀的智慧就让我们众生怎么样？很好懂哈，用很简单的譬喻就告诉我们怎么样，很怎么样，很有智慧的，对不对？内涵，就是说他每一个的譬喻，这九个譬喻里头，其实就是要告诉我们怎么样，一切众生皆有如来藏哈，这个很重要。
So we went through nine similes in the sutra, and is it easy to, are they easy to understand? Yes, it is. They are. So Shakyamuni Buddha uses stories to illustrate the common theme that all sentient beings have Tathagatagarbha.
好，那我们就是再来加强印象一下哈。在这个如来藏有一个很有名的论点，就是宝性论，究竟一圣宝性论，就是宝性论呢，就把从三个角度来讲这个如来藏，讲一切众生有如来藏，可以从法身，可以从真如，可以佛种性三个角度来说明一切众生有如来藏。
So, to further point out, Tathagatagarbha doctrine, there is three aspects of this theory. They interpret different from different perspectives. One is from the perspective aspect of Dhamma body, and second is the aspect of true suchness, and the last one is the aspect of Buddha nature.
好，法身的部分就是说佛的法身，从佛讲到众生哈。佛的法身是遍满在一切众生身心中的。
So, first from Buddha's perspectives, Dhamma body, from the aspect of Dhamma bodies, it means the Dhamma body is pervasive in all Dhamma realms.
那第二个真如的部分就是说我们众生跟佛的真如无差别，就是佛性没有差别。
And from the aspect of such true suchness, there is no difference between sentient beings and the Buddha.
第三种叫佛种性，种就种子的种，佛种性也可以简单讲叫佛性，就是佛性一切众生都有。
And the last one, from the aspect of the Buddha nature, or the seed of Buddhahood, all sentient beings have this Tathagatagarbha, have this Buddha nature.
所以从佛讲到众生，就是法身遍满的意思。那从众生讲到有佛性，就是因上面每个众生都有成佛的因，好，就是确有实性，佛性。那讲到真如无差别，就是我们常常都会听到，对不对？众生与佛平等，然后无二无别，是不是我们常常听到？对，就是这个意思。
So these three aspects, first aspect talking addressing the issue from the Buddha's perspectives, from Buddha to sentient beings, the body, the Dhamma body of Buddha's.Is filled up with all space, all realms. And from the perspectives, aspects from sentient beings to Buddha, there is no difference between sentient beings, in terms of nature's sentient beings and Buddha. And the last one, from the aspect of true suchness, there is equality between sentient beings and the Buddha.
所以这是宝性论在跟我们介绍的哈，我们今天就细节的部分就不讲，就是宝性论是用法身、真如、佛种性三方面来跟我们说明一切众生都有如来藏。
So, the classic text addresses Tathagatagarbha from three aspects. Is in Sanskrit it's called Radhagatravibhaga. In that classic text, it used three aspects to interpret the Tathagatagarbha.
所以如来藏思想呢，我们整个介绍刚刚九个譬喻都是告诉我们如来藏的思想，那这个很重要，因为可以使我们发心的菩萨愿意接受什么，一切众生都是什么现前的菩萨未来的佛的观念，就会让我们每个人都愿意什么尊重尊敬每一个人包含自己。
So it is important to understand the Tathagatagarbha. So aspiring bodhisattvas will have great faith in themselves and in their practice.
好，那对我们来讲，师父提倡什么？建设什么？人间净土哦。这个佛性如来藏思想呢，这种信仰对推动人间净土。非常重要。
So the doctrine of Buddha nature, Tathagatagarbha, is important to promote the ideas of building a pure land on earth.
哦，大家知道师父提倡四种环保里的核心是什么？心灵环保嘛，哈。如果每个人的心灵环保做好，也就是说。自心清净的时候，当下就是什么？就是清净，也就见到什么人间净土嘛，哈。所以，如果我们可以用修行的方法帮助自己、帮助别人去除烦恼执着，最后这个清净的本来面目就佛性就会什么显露出来。这整个过程都在实践什么建设人间净土。
The Dharma Drum Mountain has four types of environmentalism, and one of the most important one is spiritual environmentalism. That is, use Buddha Dharma to practice and to purify ourselves and to have wisdom and compassion to benefit others as well.
好，最后再介绍师父写的，大家有回到总本山吗？师父在开山纪念馆。里头有一个开山记子、哦、就是这一段话是这样讲的，开山记是这样讲，开山的意义是开启人人心中的宝山，让人们学习如何去成就智慧，成就慈悲心，共同为我们的社会，为我们的世界提供和谐、平安、快乐、健康，这个工作是永远做不完的，只要有人出生，就有心中的山要开，因此这个山是无尽藏，是一个开不完的宝山。
I don't know if all of you have visited the Dharma Drum, the headquarters of Dharma Drum Mountain in Taiwan. If you do, if you have, you'll see the verses of grand opening of the mountain, which says the meaning of verses of grand opening is to open the treasure mountain in everyone's mind so we can learn the practice to achieve wisdom, to have wisdom and compassion, and together as a society we can provide peace, joy and health. And this job and this mission will never be ending. Because as long as someone is born, there is a mountain, a treasure mountain to discover, to open up.
好，所以对于未来哈，从现在到以后，整个世界佛教最后呢，还是需要这个 有整合性，也有适应性、包容性、消融性的，可以担任和扮演这个使命和角色的。师父说，相信还是要靠什么？如来藏思想哦。
So, Shifu said, in the future, a Buddhism in the world should be integrated, adaptable, and inclusive, and dissolving, dissolving the differences. I believe that we still need to rely on the Tathagatagarbha school to take on this mission and play this role.
好，因为这样可以让每个人在修行永远有什么？有希望与动力，而且也有什么？最终有信心。每个人有信心。
Because this doctrine gives practitioners hope, motivation, and great confidence in themselves.
好，所以最后呢，就问大家，大家自己的宝藏要等谁开？大声一点。
So in the end, I want to ask you, who is going to open up your own treasure mountain?
哦，然后除了，对，他问了我下一个问题，我说，那除了刚刚说大家自己开自己的宝藏，还有呢，我们能为别人开宝藏吗？
So,
可不可以？
So what would actually just answer my second question, because my, because Robert said Bill will open the treasure mountain of his, so...actually, Fashi's next question is, what can you do for others? Do you think you can open the treasure mountain of others?
当我们分享佛法，告诉他谁的知见，佛的知见，他就知道，哦，我的身上也有什么非常珍贵的什么自家宝藏，他就可以自己什么自己开啦，我们可以帮助别人开启自家宝，他们自家宝藏。
Yes, we actually can help others to start opening up or digging their own treasure as well by sharing Dharma and let them realize they have this treasure within, so they can start practicing.
所以我们要平等接纳每个众生都有什么？都有佛性如来藏，那学习用佛的眼去看什么一切的众生。所以今天分享了几个譬喻，九个哦，希望大家在生活上有看到类似的，就要可以常常去做什么观想。好，谢谢大家。
So we, the core message is all.Beings have Buddha nature, and today we talked about 9 metaphors that we should practice visualization whenever you have a chance and share with all others. And thank you.